Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Holistic Homesteading, a Guide to a Sustainable and Regenerative Lifestyle by Roxanne Ahern, narrated by April Doty. Publisher's note: this audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit Tantor.com and type Holistic Homesteading into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page. Then, under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code LIVELIHOOD, and then click the unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All recipes referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Introduction. What is holistic homesteading? What makes it different than regular homesteading? What do I mean by a sustainable and regenerative lifestyle? To me, the word homesteader describes anyone who works towards self-sufficiency. The definition need not be limited to folks who grow every bite of food they eat themselves and only wear things they make while living in a home they fashioned with their own hands. Although if this is you, you have my unyielding respect. A homesteader is a person who makes an effort to learn skills that will enable them to be more self-sufficient. This can manifest differently for different people based on their interests and abilities. A homesteader might want to grow and/or preserve food, build things, practice animal husbandry, learn how to butcher or cure meat, sew or crochet. The list goes on. In our modern world, I do not believe that it is necessary to live on acreage to be a homesteader. There are suburban and urban homesteaders who live in subdivisions and apartments who are more capable than I am at many homestead-type skills. Inversely, many who own land are still perfectly content being completely reliant on supply chains entirely out of their control. Being a homesteader is not exclusive to the amount of land one has. Instead, it is a mindset. Now that the meaning of the term homesteader has been established, let's explore what is meant by the words holistic, sustainable, and regenerative. Holistic describes a way of looking at situations in which we take entire systems into account, rather than trying to understand them based on their isolated parts. Sustainable practices could continue without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. Regenerate means to regrow, generate anew, or be reformed or reborn. In the last several generations, and some would argue since the beginning of human agriculture, but that debate is beyond the scope of this book, our planet and our bodies have been in a state of degeneration. We have used methods that are reductionist and admittedly unsustainable. We have continuously tilled the earth for thousands of years, which has annihilated soil life and reduced the nutritional value of our food. More recently in human history, we have taken to pouring pesticides, herbicides, and chemical fertilizers onto the soil. These chemicals have made their way into our bodies and have taken their toll. Not to mention the pollutants and chemicals in our water, air, and personal care products. The use of packaging and the amount of fuel that goes into simply transporting products from one place to another creates more pollution. My homesteading journey began with personal health. I felt unwell and had a litany of health issues until I went on a retreat for a week around the age of 20. They provided the food, all high quality and healthy, and I felt like an entirely new person afterward. I became keenly aware of how the food I ate directly impacted the way I felt. This experience changed the course of my life. I began pursuing a career in holistic nutrition, which eventually led me to soil health, because I quickly learned it didn't matter how many healthy foods are piled on a person's plate. Food grown on soil barren of vitamins and minerals is also barren of vitamins and minerals. Animal products derived from animals raised on feedlots or in confinement houses and fed genetically modified grain and pumped full of antibiotics and growth hormones cannot nourish us in the same way as animals that are allowed to forage, express the characteristics innate to their species, and have access to fresh air and sunshine. The holistic homesteader, then, works not just toward self-sufficiency, but also toward restoring the health of their body and the earth. They work to rebuild the humus in the soil and the microbiomes in their body. They avoid products and practices harmful to other people and the environment. When confronted with an unsavory side effect of a practice they were using, they resolve to find or create a new practice. They see the natural world as a partner meant to be respected, not an adversary to overcome. Humans have done tremendous damage to the earth and their bodies over the last few generations. We have used chemicals in agriculture and in our homes, and have eaten foods sold to us under a pretext of safety. But now consequences of these actions have started mounting in the form of agricultural dead zones, animal extinctions, and increasing disease rates. It has become impossible to ignore the facts. Just as cigarettes were promised to be safe, right up until the moment Big Tobacco began paying out tremendous lawsuits, and even after, today's chemical and food companies will have to pay the piper at some point. For example, Roundup is still sold at many stores, even after being ordered to pay out over $2 billion to cancer patients in a single year. Bayer still denies their product causes cancer, and many people still use this product as I write this. For the first time since 1915 to 1918, the human lifespan in the United States has decreased for 3 years in a row. The estimated causes of this are rising suicide rates, more drug overdoses, and increasing rates of liver disease. When researchers look at populations throughout the world that have the highest lifespans, some of the factors these people have in common are a healthy diet of whole foods with little or no processed foods, active lifestyles, a sense of purpose that continues into old age, strong ties with family, friends, and community, and a healthy environment. In the Western world, we spend most of our time inside and away from people we love. We live on convenience food because busyness has somehow become equated with success. We rush children to activities to enrich them, as if simply spending intentional time with them wouldn't. It is common not even to know our neighbors' names. Our nation has high obesity, cancer, diabetes, and mental illness rates. Our systems are clearly broken. That cannot possibly be denied. But there is still time to fix things if new systems are created and fresh paradigms are instilled. As we reach a tipping point in terms of planetary and human health, it is important that we create and implement new systems and practices designed to create improvement, not maintain the status quo. Just like a sick person needs a higher level of care and nurturing, our bodies and the earth need nurturing now. When an ill person is not tended to, their condition often worsens, leading to hospitalization or death. Consider yourself a member of the triage for nature. Under the loving care of our efforts, the world can and will heal. And so can we. Many Little People. A wonderful quote by Anwar Fazal says, "Little people doing little things in little places everywhere can change the world." I think it is important to remember When looking at the enormous problems in the world feels overwhelming and insurmountable, in many cases, change initiates from the bottom up, not the top down. I hear people expressing their disappointment in large structures, corporations for being careless, governments for not legislating changes. And yes, that is frustrating, and there should be accountability for corporations and governments. But we have allowed ourselves, as a people, to become dependent and beholden to entities that do not seem to have our best interests at heart. We have sacrificed our independence for convenience, and the powers that be have poisoned our food, water, and air, while subjecting animals and humans to horrendous treatment so that people can buy inexpensive and convenient goods. If people say, "No, I would rather grow my own food than buy food from a food system that pollutes. I would rather make my own clothes than buy something made by a child who works 16 hours a day in a factory for pennies," then change can begin. If we stop buying their products, those problems will go away. It may take time, but if consumers become hypervigilant regarding the ethics and environmental standards of the companies they purchase their goods from, then the companies will have to bend to this or fade away because no one will buy their wares. But just as we want them to be accountable for their behavior, we must also be accountable for ours. We can't expect governments and corporations to protect the environment and simultaneously support companies who pollute and abuse. That is a mixed message. We have to stand by our convictions and say no, even if it is inconvenient. The importance of a right livelihood. The future world we create should have a plan that includes access to the right livelihood for all. What is the right livelihood? It is a person's ability to support themselves and a family, if that is their goal, in such a way that will not impact other humans or the planet in a negative way. There are millions of jobs in our current economy in which people can earn a living, but unfortunately, many of these jobs contribute to the destruction of our planet, put other humans in the position of working in sweatshops, or create other undesirable situations. It is damaging to the human psyche to do work in which we knowingly decrease the quality of life for others. The problem is that we all have bills to pay, and many of us have children to support. So when it comes to protecting some faceless, nameless humans we have never met in a third world country, or feeding our own families, many people make a choice to stop thinking about those faraway people or places and focus on their responsibilities to those they love in their own home. Doesn't this seem like a terrible and absurd choice to make? Between personal success and exploiting distant people and lands? But this is a reality for most Americans. It isn't by choice that most people do not know where many of the products they buy come from, what kinds of chemicals are in them, or how they are produced. Most assume that if a product is available for sale, it must be safe and not produced under unfair conditions. Now people feel dependent on these cheap and convenient goods. To escape from this system, we need to stop participating in it by A, creating local economies in which activities are sustainable and mindful, and B, no longer working for or buying things from companies whose practices make a negative impact on the standard of life on our planet. This will push current corporations to make positive changes. If they don't, and people refuse to work for them or buy their products, then they will disappear, opening the marketplace to businesses with ethical practices. Local food systems and supply chains truly are the way to heal the planet and ourselves. When we actually know the people we buy our goods from, it creates more accountability. It also encourages relationships. It keeps our dollars in our communities. In 1910, 33% of the American population were farmers or farm laborers. A majority of households either were farms or had a member who worked on a farm. Today, less than 2% claim agriculture as their occupation. In just over 100 years, we've become a nation that knows nothing about agriculture. Small farmers have virtually no voice, no power at the ballot box. Because of this, large corporations that sell seeds, chemicals, and processed junk food have taken over our food system. It's time to take it back. The first couple of chapters of this book are focused on how to choose a homestead and start home enterprises. The later chapters focus on specific skills like gardening, food preservation, foraging, and working with sourdough culture. Start anywhere you like with what interests you the most and what is most applicable in your current situation. I was not raised growing food, raising animals, canning, preserving, or learning to cook from scratch. I was brought up on processed foods and had zero idea of how to produce anything for myself. I think many of my peers are the same. Over the last handful of generations, homes shifted from being places of enterprise with gardens and workshops to being a place we sleep and consume entertainment and the labor of others. Whether you live on 1,000 acres or in a studio apartment, this book is about bringing production back into the home and local community so that we can increase personal and local resilience. In doing so, we can build a better system and live healthy, more integrated lives. I have found immense pleasure and satisfaction in learning how to be more self-reliant, and I want to share everything I have learned so that other people can know that joy too. So let's go. I hope this book leaves you feeling empowered, optimistic, and knowledgeable about something new. Chapter 1. Planning a Regenerative Future. It is important before setting out on any journey to create a plan. Yes, it is possible to just jump in the car and start driving without any destination in mind. While that road might lead to somewhere interesting and include fun adventures on the way, it could also lead to a dead end or somewhere that we never wanted to go. Once you have decided that a more self-sufficient life is for you, it will be necessary to decide what could be done to earn a living. You may already have a small side hustle or a hobby that you plan to grow into a business, or maybe you are still trying to figure that out. Once you have decided on a plan, be ready for a transition or a waiting period. I would not recommend quitting a job with no money in the bank, hoping that a brand new venture will be a smashing success immediately. Transition is key. Figuring out goals, creating a timeline, and implementing a strategy will be important elements of your transition. If it is possible to keep a job or save equivalent to 1 year's salary, 2 is even better, to help bridge the gap, I highly suggest it. Also, many farm or homestead income streams are seasonal, so it is possible to have more than one way to make an income. I strongly encourage it. Do not work yourself to the bone. Build breaks for yourself when you plan your new life. Many farmers and homesteaders fall into the trap of never being able to leave the homestead. If travel and getting away are important, make sure to strategize this into the front end of your plan. If you're planning to raise livestock, for example, who will tend to them when it's time for a vacation? Ideas for generating income on a homestead or farm. Grow enough veggies or fruit to sell. Also think value-added products, jellies, baked goods, tomato sauces. dried or dehydrated foods. Bees for honey and wax to use for personal care products or candles. Wool. If you keep sheep, you can sell wool. Spinning, dyeing, felting, and creating fiber art is another way of value adding. Cut flowers, bouquets, or subscriptions, you pick. Preserved food. Freshly baked bread. Eggs. Consider selling eating eggs, but also raising hatching eggs. This is especially profitable from rare or desirable breeds. Rainbow eggs, for example, are in high demand. This can make a dozen eggs go way up in value. Raising different kinds of fowl to sell. Chickens, guinea hens, quail, geese, turkeys, peafowl, ducks, etc. Decorative gourds. Value add by making them into birdhouses or fairy houses. Restore secondhand items, furniture, clothing, to be repurposed or reused. I see this as a big one moving forward, as there is just such an extreme excess of unnecessary goods, especially when new items are often not made as well as older items. Microgreens to sell to restaurants. Farm parties, or homestead, or farm experiences for others. A little cabin that could be Airbnb to give people that homestead or farm feel. Fruits and nuts from trees. This will take a while to establish, as fruits and nut trees will take time to produce. Art made from natural and repurposed items. Workshops or classes in an area of your expertise. Food preservation, cheese making, permaculture, mushroom log making, tree grafting, etc. Pick your own orchard or berry patch can be combined with a picnic experience. Pumpkin patch. Foraging tours. Grow and sell mushrooms or mushroom logs. Make clothing. Tinctures. Salves. Personal care products. Soap, shampoo bars, lotion. Firewood. In addition to producing items, offering services can be an additional way to produce income. Edible landscape designer, nutrition consultant, meal planner, personal chef, permaculture designer or consultant, farm or homestead consulting and planning, interior decorating, organization specialist, tutor, instructor, doula, personal trainer, accountability coaching, gardener, arborist, seamstress, barber, repairman, mechanic, carpenter, electrician, plumber. Remember that many ways of earning an income from the land are seasonal, so pick a few areas of interest that can be focused on at different times throughout the year. The most difficult thing is to get your customer in the door, so to speak. Once you have developed a relationship with people who trust you and your products, they will probably be glad to check out some of your other offerings. List of questions to help you define your goals and land needs. What do I want to produce? Do I live in a climate conducive to producing this? Do I need access to land to produce this? If not, what do I need access to? Is it possible to work or trade for what I need, or do I need to buy it with physical money? Do I have a market or distribution network for the products I would like to produce? Create a marketing plan. Are there possible mentors that could guide me as I go through this process? Are there any local groups I could join that would be helpful to me from a knowledge or networking perspective? Planning a business. If you have never owned your own business, it can seem like an overwhelming task. You may not be sure where to begin. Some universities consult with small business owners at no charge. You can also pay a fee to an expert for consulting. There are also many excellent books and websites for you to research this topic yourself. I will add some in the resources section. If you decide to start your own business, there are a series of steps. 1. Come up with an idea. What product or service would be valuable to your local community that you would also enjoy producing? 2. Do market research to make sure there is a demand for your business. 3. Make sure your business can be conducted in an ethical and environmentally sound way. Where will you source material? How is it produced? Is there an environmentally friendly way to dispose of the end result of your product, and is the process environmentally friendly? If your business requires packaging, have you looked into the cost of compostable or zero-waste options? These questions can feel overwhelming, and in our current economic model, it may be difficult. But it is important to ask these questions and start looking more closely at the impact our businesses make and working to make that impact a positive one. This is an exciting opportunity for ingenuity and creativity. 4. Make a business plan. This should be as clear and detailed as possible, but also concise and ideally not more than a couple of pages. This plan will outline your product or service, the target demographic, an estimate of startup, an estimate of possible returns, and a marketing plan. Doing this helps crystallize your idea, and it will also be necessary if you are looking for investors or loans to help fund your business, or influencers and industry leaders to offer an endorsement. If you find yourself struggling with this step, free business planning templates can be found online. 5. Come up with a name and form an entity. This name should be unique to your business. You can search for trademarks on the internet. Legal services companies do this for a small fee. You can also hire an attorney to do this step. You may choose to run your business as a sole proprietorship or decide to form an LLC or some other type or entity. There are different pros and cons for each type of business structure. There is plenty of information for you to research this, or you can hire legal counsel. This is also a good time to seek out an accountant, unless you don't mind handling that portion of your business. An accountant may also have some input for you about which type of business structure makes the most sense. 6. Create a marketing plan. Much can be done to promote a business for free on social media. Writing articles for magazines or newspapers can also be a good way to promote your product or service. There are always television, radio, and billboard ads. However, that type of advertising can be expensive. You may also be able to promote your business at local establishments, such as libraries, grocery stores, farmers markets, small business fairs, or by sponsoring a local event. Local small business networking meetings can be a good way to connect with other entrepreneurs whose customers might find value in your good or service. A small local newspaper can be a good place to advertise, and depending on what you're selling, you may even be able to get a write-up. Chapter 2. Choosing your homestead. Site and scale. To figure out what kind of homestead you will create, try writing down your objectives and vision. Do you want to raise animals? Would a completely self-sufficient off-grid situation be ideal? Or are you looking to decrease the environmental impact you make, but enjoy living in close community with others in an urban or suburban area? Becoming a completely self-sufficient homesteader is a tremendous amount of work. Imagine only eating food you grow yourself and using only products you make. We learned early on in our homesteading adventures that we would do what we could do, and what we couldn't do, we would first look at supporting other homesteaders, farmers, and creatives in our area. If we couldn't find what we needed produced locally, we would search for it used or from a company with good ethics. When deciding how you would like to be more self-sufficient, it is important to think about the desired space you would like to do that in. Food preservation, fermentation, cooking.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?